Blog Talk Radio.
Down to
What's up, everybody? How you doing? This is me, Sean, coming at you here from Louisville, Kentucky. This 12th day of August, 2019, we're doing some, some interesting things going on in our society, and some interesting things is going on, and we want to continue a conversation and that I think that needs a lot of attention. That do you know it will be 400 years in America come 2019? Did you know it will be 400 years in America come 2019 since our demographics of folks arriving 1619 in Virginia, that we will be here in America? Did you know? And what's interesting about this, you know, I'm starting to really realize that I'm part of a small percentage of people that really connected and understand what's happening. It's kind of disappointing it a little bit when you think about that. There's 12, 13% of us that make up America, and Negroes, Blacks, and African Americans, and the struggle that is it is to get people to acknowledge and understand that there's some things going on around you. There's some things that are happening and everything. Are you still complaining and whining about certain things? There's things happening, and look like we're missing it. And I'm only a part of a small percentage of people that is aware of this. And it's kind of interesting. Makes you wonder, you know, the work and the things that you're putting together, is it, you know, all worth it? Or because if only a small percentage of people was involved in everything, that means that there's a whole lot of work for a very small percentage of people trying to wake up a you know, what, 40 million people to understand their place or who they are. Very interesting times, you know. Did you know it will be 400 years in America? We've been here come 2019. Did you know that? That's a question that I'm wondering. A lot of us, you know, went to church today, and I intentionally went to a European American church, one of the largest churches here in Louisville, Kentucky, Southeast Christian, and I intentionally went to the morning service, but I intentionally went to what we call their Bible study, and the name of the Bible study, the title of the Bible study group was The Cornerstone, and so I go in there, and course, everybody in there is 70 and 80, I mean 60 and older, all European males and females, okay? And, you know, I'm sitting there, and they all coming up to me, oh, hi, you the new person here, how are you visiting? Yeah, you, of course, you know, I'm visiting, you know. You know, I'm the only one in the room look like me. And kind of interesting, the, you know, the message that the elderly gentleman talked about was, you know, knowing your place and understanding your position and how God has called you to do a thing, and how you may be the only one that God has called. And I thought it was quite interesting because I've been feeling a burden, you know, not feeling totally qualified, but feeling the burden of something that, you know, a very small percentage of people that's involved in. And so I'm sitting there listening to the message and everything, and I'm like, wow, this is an interesting message. And so at the end of their message, before it all ends, he opened it up for conversation. So I share about, you know, everybody's interpretation of when somebody gives a message is different. I said, since I'm the only one in here that is, a descendant of an American slave, then my interpretation of this message that you just gave is based on this. And I share with them about the 400 years by 2019. And many of them didn't even have a clue. They was like, wow, they were really blown away that 2019, you know, they were being supposedly religiously connected, that 400 years is going to be 2019, that the first slaves that arrive in Virginia, enslaved Africans, okay, from Africa, began in Virginia in 1619, and 2019 is going to be 400 years. The guy that was leading the class, Ken, he would actually turn red, and, you know, he was kind of like, wow, I didn't know that, you know. And I went to church with them and went to the service. And again, you know, going to a European experience in religion is different than when you're going to ours. They got a different perspective, and you know, everything's so well organized and orchestrated, and you know, the music and everything. Oh, it was just it was quite interesting. But you know, I really realized that after the end of that service, I came to the realization that I probably need to do more of going outside of my own worship experience and start going to people that don't look like me and stand up and give my testimony about why I'm here. You know, and I, you know, one of the things is, it's kind of interesting. I didn't feel like getting engaged or allowing their European persuasion to worshiping God to influence me, because I've already got a relationship. I already have a relationship and experience of experiencing God. So I was being intentionally stalemate. You know, I didn't come there to clap hands and shake and everything. I felt kind of weird. I feel like I was not, it's kind of like I wanted to be there, but I did not want to be influenced by their experience, because I'm certain and confident that just as much as I'm kind of upset or kind of concerned about how the lack of knowledge about who we are culturally, they too is just as ignorant and will stay on course, whatever they think, and they will try to influence their ideology, their perspectives, and their thing on you, and they will try to consume you. And before you know it, you get off course. It's kind of like this show, the Focus Show. Follow one course until successful, and you get off course. And so I intentionally did not. I wasn't interested in being influenced by them. I wanted to stay strong and hold on to the fact that I'm not here to be influenced by you. I'm here to influence you. Oh. And so the guy asked me to, you know, he came and sat with me and everything. And as he was doing his thing, I leaned over to him. I said, you know, I do appreciate you, Ken, for inviting me here, man. But, you know, man, I'm telling you, I'm here to try to, I'm seeking to try to share the importance of what's about to happen in 2019 and how we all, as Americans, and you know what I'm starting to really believe? Even if no one really understands, whatever's about to happen, those who really are as aware, we have a responsibility to do what we need to do. Because what's going to happen is going to happen. I mean, it is historically fact that 400 years, 2019, is going to happen. And the question I've been asking myself, are we culturally ready for this, for what that means? And I don't know. Right now we have 5 months. When I think about the organization that I'm involved with, we basically have 5 months until 2019, January 2019, which January is my birth month. I would be turning 28. I mean, 28, good God, 58. Question is, are we ready? You know, and we only have 5 months. 5 months of work to prepare the hearts, the mind, the soul of people that in 2019, and then we think about, you know, July 4th of 2019, you know, what are we going to be doing? And then we think about all the things. So, you know, I got very, very, very light feedback from people who interested in this conversation. Gary, right now, I have one person on the line, and nobody's calling in. Nobody's saying, nobody's interested in this conversation, it seems like. It seems to be a conversation for maybe just a few people. Only a few people seems to be concerned about 400 years is coming in 2019. 400 years will be, and I'm really concerned about, you know, only a few people is aware, is conscious of it. And those who may be conscious of it, you know, Gene and I talked earlier, you know, how many are really working on what we're working on? Who are actually working on what we're about to roll out, what we're trying to work out? And then the real question is that I'm still really, you know, I feel a little burdened, a little disappointed, kind of upset, kind of wondering what God is up to. You know, all doing all this awakening, trying to get people to recognize who they are, and do they even care? Are they even aware of what's happening? We only have a very few people that's working towards this. You know, what's up? What's up, Leonard? Bringing you into this conversation and thing. How you doing, man? Hello? Hey,
Wayne, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Man, I don't know what's wrong with this Blog Talk Radio. It's I had to call back. I had to call in because it disconnected me. Wayne, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Okay, hold on. Let me cut my computer off because I'm getting feedback. But, yeah, they've been tripping for the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's disappointing because you can't run a broadcast when things is not operational like this. It's kind of messing me up.
So I can't see your board. It still wouldn't let me sign in. So did you lose your audience?
Yeah, the only person that was on was on. I mean, I didn't have nobody on but Leonard, and he dropped off. So it's just you and I.
I think Blog Talk is kicking them off because I had about 200 people on the last show I did about 3 weeks ago, and when it went dead, everybody went dead first. All of the callers went dead first, and then it's like they all dropped, and then I got kicked out. So that's how it did me the last time I broadcast. I hadn't done it in about 3 weeks. I was going to do one yesterday, but I just got bogged down. So, well, I just told Gene we were back on.
Yeah, I was going to. I was going to go ahead and let Leonard know also we're back on. But I'm disappointed.
Well, don't worry about it. I mean, we can keep it for recording, so just keep going. The show must go on.
Let me text Leonard, let him know that back on.
Okay, I'll text Gene to him a call in. I don't know if you see him yet.
No, he's not. He's not in here. I don't see him.
Okay.
This is
something from.
I was just making some comments concerning that. The mindset, there are a very small percentage of people that are actually conscious of the idea that 2019, 400 years, and 1619, and there's only a very small percentage of people that's working towards this awakening. And those
mm-hmm.
who are working towards, they got their own agenda. They're not even working towards anything that have any merits to it. They're just working to some craziness. You know, and talking to Gene earlier, I think, as Gene has said, I think we're the only ones working towards what we're working towards that potentially. And I'm not trying to pat us on the back and everything, but I think what we're working towards and what Dossie and what Doss. Center Economics, so it has some. I mean, I don't know. I don't mind. It's not like I know everything, but it seems to be the most important thing that can change a lot of things that's going on. But you know, I do feel the burdensome or disappointment in a way that you know you're talking to us and you're trying to get us engaged and everything. I don't even know if y'all understand this. I must be talking like you're talking to aliens that don't seem to. Are they in a sunken place? They have no clue about what you're talking about, or they're not connected to. You know.
Well, I think what you're talking about, Michonne, is the fact that you know we actually when I say we, I'm talking about us who are true descendants of American slaves. Now, to say that we are descendants of American slaves, you have to understand you're talking about a particular class of people. You're talking about people like you, myself, and Gene. When you're talking about black folks, when you're talking about African Americans, when you're talking about Negroes, you have to understand that there is a level of captivity that still exists. And when I say that, what I mean is that they think that they are truly American and Americanized when they still don't understand that there is still legislation that supports segregation, when they still don't understand that I can go to New Iberia, Louisiana, and see clearly that on one side of the tracks is where Caucasian people live, and on the other side of the tracks, the residents are still living in the slave shacks in Louisiana, in Mississippi, in some parts of Alabama. You look up New Iberia, Louisiana, you will see that there's a residential area that has been passed on from generation to generation, and they are leasing, I put the emphasis on leasing, these residences.
They don't even own them.
No, they are in poor communities. So when your mind is still enslaved, then you cannot expect for people to reach for true freedom, economic freedom, you know, spiritual freedom, academia freedom, and to be able to grow and thrive in a society that was designed to enslave you. And that is why the prison system is set up the way it's set up. I share with Brother Gene today, there are 300,000 plus African American men incarcerated in prisons in Texas alone. You got Louisiana, very small state. They call it the boot. Looks like a little boot. They got two main prisons there. One of them is Angola. That small state houses 40,000 African-American prisoners. Now, we talk about two neighboring states that almost equal 350,000 of us incarcerated. Now, it's not just the fact that you are incarcerated. It's the fact that when you are incarcerated, you are brought back to a time warp of slavery. You are locked in a cage. You're shackled and chained when you get ready to go somewhere. They feed you slop. They tell you when to eat, when to sit, when to stand, what programs you're going to go to, what you're not going to do. They tell you everything. This is just like prisoners, just like the plantation. So when you get out after doing your 5, your 10, your 15, your 20-year stint, you come out into a society that supports the mindset that has been thrust upon you in prison. So us who think we are free, let's say the educated Negro who thinks he's free, you go and get a BS, you go and get a master's degree, letting your master know that you've been a good nigga and you learned this. And so you can do this and thus and so for corporate America, and after 30 to 35 years, I'm going to give you a pat on the back, a gold watch, and you get your Social Security and retirement, and you're going to die. But never entrepreneurship, never independence, never the pride of ownership and what you can do in your communities as a descendant of an American slave. They will not teach them that. It is incumbent upon us to teach that. That is why Dr. Martin Luther King is a figure of history today. And that's why they know that you're going to want to idolize someone, so they give you that pre-1966 version of Dr. Martin Luther King, where he said, "I have a dream." And they keep letting you know you can keep dreaming, but damn it, this is a nightmare out here that you're going to live. But they don't want to expose you to the 1966-1967 Dr. Martin Luther King that was talking about economic development for us, that was talking about how you can live and be just as rich and just as powerful and just as independent as anybody else. There is a mindset, and the responsibility of descendants of American slaves is to be the beacon light that Dr. Martin Luther King had intended to be at that time, to be that beacon light. Yes, we can be peaceful with you. Yes, we can live in the community with you, but we can also have our own. We don't have to have it dictated by you. We can also train up our children to be independent. We can also teach them trades and skills that they don't have to go to your institutions of higher learning to get a piece of paper to say that they qualified to do it. We can do all things that are within our power, and we can strengthen ourselves economically through education and through skills. And we're going to teach entrepreneurship. We're going to teach ownership. That's what we have to do for our people when we've been waiting on our people to do it for us. That is not their intent, and the constitutions and the legislations and the policy and procedures that run America did not include us when they talked about fairness, and when they talked about equality, and when they talked about justice, and when they talked about freedom. That was not inclusive of us as a people. Okay, I'm done. Sorry.
Hey, it's all good. It's all good. Hey, that wasn't Leonard that was on. That was actually Gene. I just realized. Gene, what's up, man? You there?
Yes, sir. How are you?
If you heard me earlier, as I was talking earlier before we got cut off, I was just explaining to Queen how I feel the burden of a very few people is even conscious of this conversation. Do you know it will be 400 years in America come 2019? And not very many people is conscious of it. But Gene, you and I talked earlier, and I want to just piggyback off of what you said, and what we both confirm is that it is impossible for me to believe that we do not have people who have actually has been, and I'm not, let me be very clear about this. I'm not even talking about the European culture. I'm not even talking about people of European descent. I'm saying people that look like you and I, Jason Queen. It is impossible for me not to believe that we've been here this long and we are still in this condition that we are in. It's impossible for me to not believe that there's people who actually been working for, there's people who has been working against our demise. I mean, there's people who actually, there's people that look like us who has intentionally benefited from the condition that culturally that we're in. And literally, or if that's not the case, Gene, as you and I said, then we're some ignorant ass people, man. I have to believe that we have allowed leaders to deceive us and keep us tripping over the same thing over and over again, that we have allowed that to happen and everything. Or if that's not the case, man, we are some really damaged, ignorant-ass people, man. Yeah, do y'all feel me on this? I mean, do y'all hear me? Okay. Because the more I think about this, and it's interesting, since the two of y'all that came on board, I mean, it's beautiful to have other people that, you know, you can start talking to. And also, you know, Gene and Queen, y'all make me feel like, you know, damn, you know, there are other people that really know that maybe there's something wrong with us and we can probably need to change the crap that we're doing. But it started making you start feeling the burden of when you're around so many different people who don't get it. Y'all follow me? And y'all have to feel, being that y'all coming from the Nation of Islam, let me ask y'all something. How do y'all feel? I mean, do y'all probably feel it more than I do, because y'all kind of, y'all went to that thinking that that was going to be y'all answer for some change, and, you know, and then all of a sudden some things started changing. So y'all probably got a double whammy of how I feel. Do that make sense?
Yeah, but let me say this, Brother Michon, as you stated earlier, that there's a few people on the line. And I just want to go to the book with you for a minute. In Matthew 18:20 said, where there are two or three gathered in my name, so am I. So God is with us. But also, you said a burden. Remember, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. So we don't look at it as a burden. You just look at it as work to be done. But our people are asleep. And I was listening to a speech that Dr. King made in 67. He said, we must stay awake. And he gave an analogy of a man who went up to the mountain for 20 years. And when the man was going up to the mountain, he had a picture, a vision in his mind of King David of England. I think that's his name. But he went up there and went to sleep. And when he came back down after 20 years, he saw a picture, a vision of Jefferson. He didn't realize that there was a revolution taking place while he was asleep. That's our people. We got to stay awake. But, you know, you said also, our people don't realize we're asleep, man. Do you know that the neo-Nazi group since 2017 has grown by 22%?
Wow.
They had the Nazi group that formed down there in North Carolina a year ago. They had a rally in Washington today. Didn't many show up, but they had a rally today. I mean, these people are getting ready for something, but we are asleep. But, you know, 2019 will mark the 400 years according to them and their records. But they know. I ain't going to get into that. They know the truth. But let's just play with day game. 2019, okay. That marks 400 years. Let me go back to the book. The book of Genesis 15:13. And God said unto Abraham, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall be afflicted for 400 years. And after that time, I will come. This is God talking. He said, I'm coming, and I will judge that nation in which they serve. So I say that to mean that that's a critical time, 2019. But our people are asleep. That just shows how much work we've got to do to awaken the people.
Brother Gene, where did you read that from?
What did I just read? The scripture? That's in the book of Genesis, 15, verse chapter 13, the book of Genesis.
Oh, okay.
You know, that is and I don't know if you heard me earlier. I went and hung out and had some conversation with some people today, just for a little bit, and dropped some information on them. I was really shocked to find out, not shocked, but how shocked they were when I told them about 2019 and 400 years that slaves and Gene and Queen, these European Americans, they were older. We're talking about 70 and 80 year olds individuals. They looked at me, and they was like, "Oh my God, I didn't know that. Are you serious?
Yeah, because
now, you got to understand, when European Americans, you can say whatever you want, but they know the word a little bit, okay? That and they immediately went right what you was just talking about, Dylan. They understood that 400 years is significant for something. Now, you may not understand, but it's significant to God for something, okay?
Yeah.
Do that make
yeah,
sense?
And,
and
it makes a lot of sense.
That this is why I'm interested in doing this show like this. We got only 5 months, people. We only have 5 months, okay? 5 months. We have to raise our numbers up and getting people on board in what we're doing. We only have 5 months to really bring attention to this conversation. And I'm talking about it not in the manner about how St. Stephen's and some of these other people, they got some Jubilee concert they're looking at doing next month and doing some things and everything. And but not in the manner that they're talking about bringing attention to it. I'm talking about in the manner that you and I talked about and what Queen talked about and about what we're doing about incinerating. There's, like you said, Gene, there's no one. I mean, and you said it very clear. I can't think. I mean, if they're doing it, I ain't heard of it. I don't believe there's no one currently right now doing or looking at rolling out what we're looking at rolling out. Queen, do you think so?
Unfortunately, no. There are not people who are conscious enough for the concept that we are on the brink of and what we're trying to produce. And that is going to be huge. We're going to spread this across the nation. Reaching definitely every major metropolitan city, and prayerfully they will reach out to those small towns that nobody knows and hears about. But here's the thing: it's more than just building chapters and sharing information. It's the awakening of people, and when people become awakened to their own abilities and their own powers that are within them, then as Gene referred to that scripture, if he would have read further, it would have said that, you know, it says that we will come out of her or come out of it with great riches. Now, when they talk about riches, it's not necessarily talking about in a monetary sense, but when you know who you are and when you know what your capabilities are and the most priceless thing that you can have that makes you rich is the freedom of mind. And so this is what Descendants of American Slaves is trying to produce, is the freedom of mind, to unshackle your mind. Now, I was late coming on to the show because I got a call from my cousin, and my cousin is 46. She has one son, and he was shot 5 times in the back today, my great-nephew. And my little cousin, whatever. But he was shot by another man, another man that looks like us. And when we start to appreciate who we are and love one another, this is what Descendants of American Slaves has done for me. Is the recognition and the honoring of our ancestors. But the one thing that I'm praying that comes out of this, more so than economic and social development, is love for one another, to create another level of appreciation of those that look like us. And I was having a conversation with Gene. I said, Gene, we got to meet these people where they are. We got to reach down in the mud and get them, because a lot of people don't understand where we are. They don't understand where we are. And so here we are at the four of the documented 400th year of slavery, of being in this country as documented people. And to think that we are one degree above the condition in which we came here in, that is what is most shocking to me. We are one degree above the condition that we actually came here in, meaning that we haven't really made any strides. Don't be fooled by the trinkets and the tokens. You know, they dangle you with a black mayor. They dangle you with a black city councilman. They even dangled a carrot in front of you with a black president. But when you look at the condition of a people, and I'm not just talking about descendants of American slaves, just like Gene said, you got 22% increase of white supremacy in this country. That in itself is crazy.
That is crazy.
But then check this out. You got a president who supports, whether he admits it or not, who supports their efforts. This is the country and the time that we're living in. So the importance of the 400th year, the importance of the work of DAS is to assure our people of truth and wisdom and the acknowledgement of who they are and what they're capable of as a people. Because if you got people who are developing white supremacy, they are developing white supremacy to come against somebody, and it's not each other.
And Queen, you know, one of the things we have to do, you know, like the gentleman that just came on, Adolf, and everything, he's on the line. He has an influence on people, and there's other people like himself and everything that, you know, sitting on the sidelines, haven't actually came on board and embraced the DASI concept. But, you know, we got to find ways to get them involved with this, to let them understand that this 400 years, 2019, is real talk, isn't it? This 400 years ain't got nothing to do with Negroes, Blacks, and African Americans. It has to do with us, who are descendants of American slaves. And Adolf, you know, I know you've been, you know, hanging around and listening to. So, you know, what's your take that 2019 is going to be 400 years that since 1619 we culturally been here? What's your take on that, Adolf?
Well, I hadn't heard the whole thing, but my take on the situation is that we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do. We got a lot of people to show what's going on, and unfortunately, the people that you have to show the most work to is our own people, because they're the ones that resist. People hate change, unfortunately, but change is going to come, whether you like it or not. So all I can say is that we have a lot of work to do in getting things in order. One thing I'd like to see from DASI is to show us an outline. Show us an outline of what you all perceive what the descendants of American slaves, what is it that we're, what kind of picture are we looking at when you want to put something together in order for the ordinary Joe, so to speak, to support us? What is it that you have set up in a hierarchy, I guess, so to speak, in which we can follow, analyze, critique it, make it better, that you want us to follow? Because I think that's important, seeing the structure that you all put forth.
Hey, Gene, now, doesn't he respond to what we were talking about this morning when we said that what you're working on and going to present to us is a kind of an outline, is going to be the foundation? And didn't we just say
right.
that? Morning, Gene, that some of our people are looking for what we're going to lay out. Didn't we just talk about that this morning, Gene?
Yeah, we did talk about it, you know, this morning and the other day, and I want to say to my brother is just, you know, hold tight, you know, we don't really want to let all the thing out of the bag because, you know, we have to defeat this enemy. We have to be smart, we have to strategize, and we have to really defeat this enemy, and there's a way of defeating him. But I also want to lay out is that we as descendants of American slaves, we don't write our own history anymore. There has not been no history in the last 20 years of descendants of American slaves. The last one was in 1995, the Million Man March. That's all I can recall. So if we don't write our own history, somebody else will write it for us. The media and those in power know for 2019 the significance of that. They have kept it out of the media. Nobody's talking about it. Organizational leaders, they're not talking about it. You know, even, you know, with the celebration in January, I think, of Dr. King's birth or death, whichever one, they'll talk about that. But nobody's mentioning the 400 years. There's a reason behind that. I mean, these people don't do nothing without meaning. And I want to say to the brothers that, you know, we'll be talking and hopefully meeting with you as soon, you know, and we just got to defeat this enemy. Just keep that in mind. You know, everything in nature has an enemy, and we certainly got one. But I just want to iterate on that. We're not writing history anymore, so somebody else is writing our history.
And Gene, you kind of correlates to why I am totally rejecting how, you know, for Papa John, the N word, the use of the N word and everything, and then the media is going to, you know, and is going to dictate how we ought to respond to it. And again, you know, that we take those knee jerk and we get emotionalism based on what somebody else telling us that we should respond to something, and I'm just tired of that, man. I had to correct somebody on Facebook where I told her I am no longer a young man going to write this whole. Y'all might even know this young man. What's his name? Dwayne's gonna write something with this idea that he's asking that we need to be engaged in something that I'm like, man, I'm not feeling all that. I'm not gonna allow you to dictate to me what I should and what I should not do. I'm not gonna allow myself to be emotionally swung like that anymore. And we need to stop that because you're right. We need to write our own history. Hey,
something, Sister Queen.
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, what happened on Blog Talk that my time just ran out. I don't have no more time. It just says we basically our show is over.
Oh, it always does that, but it keeps recording. You have up until an additional hour.
Okay.
Because when they hang you up, it goes dead.
I mean, I had 40 minutes here all of a sudden, and then it just went away.
Oh, yeah, but it's still recording because if it wasn't recording, it would hang up.
Let me say this.
I wanted to respond to what Howard had asked about a layout.
That's not Howard. That wasn't Howard. That's Adolf.
Adolf? Adolf?
Yeah,
is that who it was? Okay.
Yeah,
so what I wanted to share with him as well, when he talked about what DASI is going to format, I want to at least let you know, without saying everything, is that the one thing that Gene and I did is that we surveyed our immediate communities. And when you survey your community and see what is needed, you know, and what is lacking how you reach your people is to provide to those services that are actually needed in the community, services that they would usually have to go outside of the community to partake in, are just things that are needed on a regular basis that the community is just starving for. So when you start providing services to people who are in need, they will come to you. That is the perfect environment and the perfect moment to engage them in services and things that they can do to uplift themselves as well as to empower the community. So that is the whole significance of chapters, because this is not like the Black Panther Party where really everything is just the same and you got chapters everywhere. You have to be chronicling and addressing the needs of your immediate community, because our people are suffering. They are in a terrible condition when you look at the people who we really consider poor and disenfranchised. I'm not talking about the working poor even. I'm talking about the people who are just out here who are maybe plagued by drugs, or just plagued by poverty, who are struggling, who are sick. You know, these are the people that we need to grab hold of, and we also need to invite organizations that are African American by design and bring them into the service component of it all, and then that is where you can share a common message. So I just wanted to kind of explain that.
I wanted, before we make more comments, just a minute, Adolph, I just want to acknowledge that our president is President Leonard E. Walker is not on the air because he's out celebrating with his wife. It's her birthday today. And so we want to, from the show, I want to make sure it's recorded and it is acknowledged that we honor relationship. We honor our wives, our husbands, but especially on their birthdays. So we want to wish Mrs. Walker a happy birthday from the Focus Show. So I just wanted to make sure Yes, happy birthday to you from the Focus Show. Go ahead, Adolph. You wanted to make some comments.
Well, I was going to comment on what Ms. Queen said about, you know, unlike Black Panther, but you got to give Black Panther credit because they did take care of the needs at that time of the neighborhoods and of the community that they served. Now, you just can't discount them for what
and
they
what
did.
I'm
they
saying
did at that
was
time
that their,
what their needs were.
Their criteria was the same all over, but I'm not saying they didn't address the needs of the community. I'm saying that when you ask for our layout, I'm saying that from community to community, the program layout may be different, because there are different dynamics that have to be addressed in communities. And the importance of chapters is that they are designing programs and structures that are exclusive to their community. So what they're doing in Bryan, Texas, they might not be doing in St. Louis, Missouri, because the needs are different. So our chapter heads are going to be the ones that are going to assess their communities and see what services are needed, and the DOC is going to come in and provide those services. That is your gathering place, because you're giving people what they need. You got them there at a time where you could disseminate information about DOC, you know, to a group of people who are being provided services. So it won't be the same in that aspect, but the principles and the goals and objectives will be identical. But I just wanted you to know that.
Well,
that's
what I
want
to know.
Very personalized.
Your goals and objectives. But that's what I'm saying. The goals and objectives. What is the overall? That's what I'm getting at. What is the overall? I understand you have to critique it to every neighborhood, That's a given.
Mm-hmm.
You critique what that neighborhood needs, but overall, what is the overall, you know, set goal? Or is there a timeline that you want to be somewhere? I mean, at a certain time, you need to be here. By this time, you'll be there. I mean, getting people educated is very important, and it's critical. Getting people educated and getting them on the same page, especially
mm-hmm.
us as people, getting us on the same page. It can be very difficult
mm-hmm.
and frustrating and challenging at times, but you have to have
right.
a commonality that says this is what we're trying to do. By this time, we need to be here. And if we can get there, I don't mean to get off the subject, but almost like the, what is the 50-pound challenge, 50 million challenge of people graduating from 20 or 50,000 people graduating from college, they still
yeah.
haven't achieved that goal yet. You know, and I know they wanted to, but it hasn't been done. It's still work. It's still
Adolf,
a work in progress.
Adolf, what part of the country are you in?
I'm in Louisville.
He's
what part of home of Muhammad Ali? Yeah, Muhammad Ali.
Oh, okay. You're in Louisville. You're in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah,
you'll get educated on everything we're about to do. We'll lay out to you our short-term goals, our long-term goals, and strategy on how we're going to obtain them. So we really can't go through all that over the phone, you know, but you'll be introduced
all right, I get
to everything and the layout, you know, on what we plan to do and what our long-term and short-term goals are. And we're going to shoot for that target, you know. But I did want to say that, you know, what DOTS is about to launch is going to be, you know, something that is very uncommon in America today. And like Sister Queen was saying, is that we're going to try to meet the services. What our people are lacking in the community is resources. We don't have the resources in our community to make better, you know, family life and make better, you know, communities, reducing the crime rate and the homicide rate and building a, you know, an economic base for our people. I mean, nobody's doing that. And everybody talks about the problems that we have in our communities, but nobody's coming up with the solution. And I think what DOTS is putting together is the ultimate solution to all the problems that we're facing. I'm not going to say we're going to be able to, you know, tackle and get a hold of all of them, but most crimes, and even to the poorest of the poorest, they'll be able to benefit from what DOTS is about to launch off.
Well, listen up. We're
all right.
going to go ahead. Since we're in overdrive and everything, and we need to go ahead and wrap this show up and thing, I want to, Adolf, I want you to be the last to close this out, man, since you kind of, you know, I don't get the last. You're gonna close us out today. whatever you want the people to hear, you're gonna be the last to say. And Queen, you go ahead and start us off, and then Gene, you come, and then Adolf. Okay, go ahead.
Hold
Gene.
On, real quick. Do we have somebody here in Louisville that's gonna give us the information that knows what's going on? I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
You
go
clown,
ahead.
You clown. Go ahead, Queen.
Wow. I don't really know what to say right now. All I can say is that I look forward to continuing in this direction. I could tell you that it's hard work, but it is honorable work to be working on behalf of our people. And I just want everybody to know that DOTS is not necessarily a program, but it is a way of life. So that's my comment.
Go ahead, Gene.
Well, I'd like to yield to Brother Adolf and give him some time on the closing statement, if I may.
Well, since you yield to him, I'm going to put my 2 cents in since he made that crack about the, is it anybody here going to do it? I mean, before I just give you the last word, let me reassure you, you've been sitting on the sidelines and peeping for a very long time. Always been hollering, pointing fingers at what we've been doing and everything. But you ain't put your toe in it yet, okay? So
you're right.
You know, when you're willing to put your toe, and stop pointing at it, and putting air balls in it and putting this, then you can talk some little noise today. But I've been on this ground for a very long time, brother. Okay, and I'm working very hard, and I've taken some hits for my belief.
Yes, you have.
For my people. So, you know, I'm not going to let you just get away with that one, brother, because I know that I am working very hard, especially today. Especially, I almost didn't do this because I got so much on my plate and everything, but God put it on my heart I needed to go ahead and do this. And, you know, what my travels was today, I knew that I probably needed to, you know, shake it off and everything. But so I ain't going to let you punch me like that, brother, because I'm working too hard for us, okay? So go ahead. Let's go do what you do.
Is it for me or my man? Oh, okay. Well,
no,
let me say this,
Adolf,
man. Gene? Okay, go ahead.
No, you, Adolf. You.
Oh, me? All right. Let me say this. Is that I know there's a long road ahead of us, all right? The thing that I ask, and I think for myself, us to do, is not be where we are today. This time next year, we have to be a little bit more further along than we are today. And like Queen said, it's a hard task. You know, convincing people, showing people, and there's some people that are just not going to get it. But in order to achieve the goals we have to reach, just like making a cake, you're going to crack a few eggs, and there might be people that might lose their lives, depending on what route we go. But to achieve your goal, it's going to be tough, and it's going to be hard fought. But by no means, I don't want to be here having this general conversation next year. I want to be talking about something that we have done and obtaining to get that much closer to, because it's not like we're going to spin our wheels and get nowhere. We have to get traction. We have to get somewhere so people can see the work that we accomplished so far. And all we're looking for is your support to help move us along. And it's not only, it can't only be black people. It has to be other people too as well. People of color, to say. It has to be other people as well to make this work. But I appreciate you all bringing it to the forefront.
All right. Wow. And Gene, you want to make comments after that one?
Oh, that all I can say is wow. I mean, that sounds to me like somebody who's ready to go after and go to work. And by the will and grace of God, I guarantee you, bro, we're not going to be having these general conversations next year. I mean, we're going to be out there working
and working,
you know? And that's what it takes. It takes people who are committed and people with a vision and who committed to it and believe in what they're doing and become selfless. You know, we've become too much of selfish people. We think more on an individual basis rather than a basis based on the collective ideas and the collective visions brought together. See, white folks, they don't think individually. When they talk about making some serious moves, they think collectively. And that's what we have to do. And that's what Dr. King left us on in 68, that we have to build unity. We have to start thinking collectively. I tell the listening audience, the few that's on this call, the Dr. King of 1963 ain't the same Dr. King that was assassinated in 1968. And Docs will be exposing on what Dr. King had came in knowledge of and what he was about to do. We're just picking up the baton of Dr. King and carrying it forward and making his dream a reality.
Let me add on real quick. Let me add this one. Not everybody that got in line and went over the Selma Bridge wanted to be in that line. Let me tell you, all right, that's the first thing. And that's dedication, because I think that's most important, to be dedicated to the cause. Not everybody wanted to walk to work on the bus strike. Not everybody was wanting to do that, but the few that did made a difference. And that's the important thing. Those who are dedicated will make a difference. But you gotta put in the work, man. There's no way around it. You gotta put in the work, and you're gonna lose some people on the way there. But you're moving forward. Go ahead, Michonne.
Yeah, and that's why the scripture said, "Many are called, but only a few are chosen." And God said He ain't coming back for the millions. He said He coming back for 100,000. So yeah, we expect.
And
I want to
thank you all for hanging out with us on the Focus Show this Sunday. As always, the acronym stands for Follow One Course Until Successful, and we're on course to be successful. And I want to let each and every one of you know, as far as I'm concerned, we must continue this same conversation for the next 5 months, okay, until we reach 2019. We got to get our numbers up. We got to get more people on these lines talking, and so we can create a momentum. So let's the next show, let's try to get as many people on this line. And Queen, you and I come up with the top, but it needs to be constantly in this drive going towards 2019. Would y'all agree with that? Can we agree to that, that we need to constantly be driving about what we're about to do in 2019? Y'all all agree?
Yes, sir.
Agree.
All right. That's a wrap. Thank you all for hanging out, and I'll talk to y'all next week, man. Take care.
All right.
All right.